and in the delight of his company wanted nothing, needed nothing, except occasionally to express the joy bubbling up inside. Occasionally, in the listening, expectant stillness, one of the group would apparently hear something else, some instruction, some piece of information that came from outside his own knowledge. This, too, would be spoken aloud. "Just's mother in America needs our prayers tonight. We thank you, Lord, that our prayer for Stefia has just now been answered." I was so caught up in this new kind of prayer experience that when the others got up to go and Mrs. de Graaf led me to my room, I could scarcely believe the clock on the dresser. It was 4:30 in the morning. Several days later, I was working in my room on a new article for Kracht van Umhug when Geltje knocked on the door. "There's someone to see you, Andrew. I don't know him." I went out to the front stoop, and there was Karl de Graaf. "Hello," I said, surprised.
"Hello, Andy. Do you know how to drive?"
"Drive?
An automobile."
"No," I said, bewildered. "No, I don't."
"Because last night in our prayers we had a word from the Lord about you. It's important for you to be able to drive."
"What on earth for?" I said. "I'll never own a car, that's for sure."
"Andrew," Mr. de Graaf spoke patiently as to a slow-witted student, "I'm not arguing the logic of the case, I'm just passing on the message."
And with that he was striding across the bridge to his waiting car. The idea of learning to drive seemed so far-fetched that I did nothing about it. But a week later the dike builder drove up to the door again.
"Have you been taking your driving lessons?"
"Well, not exactly."
"Haven't you learned yet how important obedience is?
I suppose I'm going to have to teach you myself. Hop in." That afternoon I sat behind the wheel of a motor vehicle, for the first time since that disastrous morning 11 years earlier, when I had driven the Bren carrier full speed down the company street. Mr. de Graaf returned again and again, and so skilled a teacher was he that a few weeks later I took my driving test and passed it the first time around, a rare thing in Holland. I could see no reason why I, who didn't even own a bicycle anymore, should be carrying an automobile driver's license around in my pocket, but Mr. de Graaf refused to speculate.
"That's the excitement in obedience," he said, "finding out later what God had in mind."
And then occurred the event which, for a while, drove everything else from our minds. In the fall of 1956 came the Hungarian Revolt, and with it the flight to the West of hundreds of thousands of terrified and disillusioned people, not only from Hungary, but from Yugoslavia and East Germany and every other communist country. These refugees were herded into vast camps near the borders, where conditions were said to be unthinkable.